Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
Well, hello everybody. This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from Booger County in the mysterious Ozarks of Mid-America. And our guest this weekend is Marita Yakesbrew. I think, you know, I was so afraid of mispronouncing your last name. I mispronounced your first name, Maria. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. I guess you're calling us from the West Coast, right? Where are you?
Yeah, I'm in San Diego right this second.
Ah, beautiful place to be.
It's pretty warm today.
I grew up.
I'm from Arizona, but, you know, here on the coast, it's more humid and stuff.
So yeah, yeah.
It's a little harder to deal with, but it's nice here.
Well, I basically grew up from second, third, fourth, fifth grade in Santa Monica.
Okay.
Sixth grade in Newport Beach.
Uh-huh.
And then I came back for sophomore year of college. So in and out of California quite a bit. But, well, tell folks about who you are and what you do, and understand you've got a message from Creator for people.
Oh, well, you know, what do I do? For years now, I've been trying to figure out what I do. I do community. I guess that's the best thing that I can say that I do, because I grew up in a traditional family, Apache family, and my grandpa was a holy man. And so I learned a lot of ceremony, and I learned how to gauge cyclic time, and I learned prophecies, and I learned stories. And so now what I do is I just help people try to get sacred again in their life. And so we do a lot of family things and workshops on bringing tradition and ritual back into your life and how everybody can pretty much do that on their own. I kind of teach the way my grandpa taught me. Like, I've written two books now, and the first one was Legends and Prophecies of the Caro Apache, and I'll get into that word Caro here in just a minute. But that was, you know, the stories I heard growing up as a kid, and then listening to the elders talk about the prophecies of these changing times.
Uh-huh.
And then my second book was Prayers and Meditations of the Caro Apache, which it's kind of like just our way of going into the silence and communing with nature and creator, and recognizing that the different earth energies and how they affect that, and how Mama Earth really, you know, balances the whole thing out. Caro, I want to get back to that right quick, because there's been a lot of talk about that recently. Caro is not a band of Apache. Caro is the name that the Apache, Kiowa, and Navajo called themselves before 1300 when they were one tribe. And after they split out, the Caro got dropped. And there were a handful of Apaches left in Mexico after Geronimo surrendered. And they opted to take that name. And sometimes they called the Sierra Madre Apache, sometimes they called the Caro Apache. Since the book started coming out, I've been hearing from Caro Apache all over the place, in Florida. And
wow.
Laytonville, California, I guess there were some that instead of going with Geronimo or staying there in Mexico, came out here to California to settle, and they settled up in the, like, Napa County area.
Now, is that
so,
Spanish word, Caro?
There's quite a few of us out there, actually. So,
how do you spell it? How do you spell it, pronounce it?
It's spelled Q-U-E-R-O.
Okay.
Okay, and... about 10, 15 years ago, we started working with the Incan Caro, and we've been comparing our ways and doing a lot of ritual together, and we've been finding out how similar the Caro actually are in their ways, and they look upon this as the fulfillment of the Eagle Condor prophecies that we've brought Turtle Island and Heart Island back together in this process, and we've formed some pretty tight alliances with them, and it's really wonderful work.
Great, great. So you've done, well, just tell us about your travels for the last, you know, how long have you been active, you know, how long have you had the feather, you know, been teaching?
I've been teaching since 72.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm old.
So you're
50 this year, you know, this last year, and for my tradition, the elders look at me and they say, okay, now you're an adult, you're 50, you can do what you do.
I was going to say, yeah, that's, I'll be 51 and just...
Yeah.
51
is
Cherokee.
I think it's a great time of life. I really am enjoying it.
Yeah, Cherokee wife, like 51, 52.
Yeah, yeah. I've been doing this since 72. I got involved. My grandpa always told me I'd be doing stuff like this, and then when I went to college, I got involved with some psychology people. And that, you know, back in the 70s, that's when everybody was first starting to get into self-help. And
oh, yeah.
And so my counselor was a psychologist, and she had just started a group for women. And so she was having some problems because she couldn't... clinical psychology just wasn't taking it far enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so... we were talking about it one day because I was her assistant too, and you know, do the filing and that kind of stuff. And so I started talking to her about rites of passage and the way I was brought up. And we decided, well, we take some of those and we put these women through it that were in this group. And so they had basically their childhood to their death rites all within a combined program, in addition to their psychological support group. And it worked really, really well. And so I guess that's kind of where I started, that and going out to high schools and just talking about, you know, I was part of the American Indian Movement back then and some of the stuff that was going on there. So trying to just have people wake up and see both sides of the the coin, you know. We got the sociology stuff that we need to take care of. We need to heal this among our people. But we also have this earth human that it's essential for us to look at our lives as individuals, and it, you can't see color when it comes to that, because if mama's going to survive, we got to get better.
You know, this is interesting.
That's the bottom line.
There's a lot of natives. Well, people, I've noticed it's there's a lot of people that are native or mixed blood people that want to teach that are attracted to psychology, sociology. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to Earth Thunder, mm-hmm. but she, her people were Wolf Clan Ketua people that went out to the Rocky Mountains before removal. And they were out there, they became known as the Red Dogs.
That's
and,
right.
And they would be up in the, well, that movie about the Oxbow incident.
Right.
That was made, it wasn't Shoshone people, it was her people.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1951, a bunch of loggers discovered her people. They had been living hunter-gatherer up there since the 1830s.
Right.
And living in the mountains in the summer and down in the caves, down in the valleys in the winter.
Right.
And 70 people in her clan, you know, all but 5 children were killed. She was the oldest, and she was 10.
Yeah.
So she was literally classified as a feral child,
mm-hmm.
and was raised in an orphanage, never used a phone until she was like 18. But
yeah.
she eventually became a clinical psychologist.
Yeah.
And then Benny LeBeau also kind of went that route. And
Benny well.
I know. I was in the vocational rehabilitation graduate program in Utah State in Logan, and they have a, I think they've got one of the 2 special Native American psychology programs there.
Right.
So lots of good things. You know, you get the best of both worlds because you know, most Native people have a foot in both worlds.
Right. Well, yes, we do. We walk in between anymore, you know, trying to balance both. And I think the gravitation to the psychology as a way of healing is kind of natural for us because, you know, in our traditional lifestyles, you know, there's many types of medicine people, I guess, you know, and people have specialties. But what I got told was that you go through and you learn it all, and the first step is the counselor, you know, in your training as a medicine person. This is somebody that counsels about dreams, this, you know, counsels about life relationships and stuff like that, because it's what we're closest to. And then you go on and you learn, you know, the healer ways, you know, the rituals, curing. And
well, did you know the guy that played Billy Jack, Tom Laughlin?
Uh-huh.
He became, even though he didn't have a degree or a doctorate in it, he became one of the best-known Jungian psychologists in the world.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Allowed to practice.
Ah, very good. Very good. Well, and, you know, I'm just really pleased with the work that I see coming out of Luis Malmadrona, too. You know, his coyote healing.
We'll be doing him soon. We had him scheduled and had to do a change, but we'll have him back on soon.
Yeah, he was supposed to come out and do a workshop for some of our groups, and he had a family thing that happened. So it's good, but I know he also just relocated to Canada. So.
Well, did you ever run into Grandfather Rolling Thunder if you were back?
Oh, yes. Back when my children were little.
Well, you probably met Earth Thunder because she hung around him. I guess she found him back in those days, too. And
yeah.
I didn't meet him until 92. He was almost dead.
Well, the first time I met him, I think, was actually like in 68. And then he did the funeral services for my grandpa.
Oh, my God.
So, I've had occasion to be with him before his crossing. He was quite a coyote.
He was something else. He was something else, and you know his son's got a spiritual center
in Oregon.
Oregon, yeah, we've interviewed him.
Yeah. I haven't been up there yet.
All Spotted
Eagle. But I hear it's quite fantastic.
All Spotted Eagle, and
So
I'm sure you know. Yeah. it's really interesting how people show their I won't pull any punches. People show their ignorance. There's a lot of discussion about you, you know, on the net, and you know, because I just put your name in on the search engine. I thought, well, you know, there's no such thing as the criminal package. who's, you know, this kind of person. It's just,
yeah.
You know, and I hate to use the word wannabes, but these people are wannabes themselves, you know. They just,
yeah.
They don't have a clue. It's so sad.
Yeah. Well, I have two cards, but, you know, I got taught a long time ago because I met with bigotry on both sides, you know.
Yep.
I'm fair-skinned, so when I was at home, if I was among people that weren't, you know, just my family bloodline, my clan, then I would run into some of that.
Yep.
But less fair than I actually did with the non-natives when I came off the reservation, because they had a hard time accepting me as not white.
There's a war.
I can't live that way. It was such a different lifestyle. I couldn't live that way.
Yeah.
So I always had to be true to me.
Ghost Wolf says there's a war against mixed bloods from both directions.
Yeah, there actually is. You kind of, you know, we actually, I signed up for one of them blog things the other day. I'm not very good at computer stuff, but I signed up for one. One of the kids in our group said, hey, you really should try this. I signed up, and all of a sudden, I'm hearing from natives all over that live on the fringes of the communities.
Yeah.
And when they were smaller, they were all, oh, yeah, you know, you're part of this. And then, but when they started walking that path where they don't see color, you know, they're only looking at spirit, then here they are. They're ostracized, and they're out there. And so it looks like we're forming a club.
Cool. Well, the best thing you could probably do is, like, buy the domain, you know, buy your the domain of your name, your race brew, and then buy the domain QueroApache.org and put up a discussion group, and that way people can, because everybody's scattered all over. You probably even got Queros in Australia.
Oh, probably,
you know?
Probably. We hear from people all over, so it's hard to say. We have a mailing list now of like 450,000.
Oh, my.
So some days it's hard to keep track.
Kidding.
No, it went in 1999, before any of my books came out, we went in like 2 months from like 2,000 to nearly 100,000.
Emails or hard copy addresses?
The email list.
Oh, you're kidding.
People that get our monthly mailings and stuff.
Woo.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Whoa.
And, you know, we're always hearing... People keep running into people we know and stuff like that, and it really demonstrates how small the Earth is getting as far as communication. Mm. Hey, and you know, that's something I'd like to comment on, because I keep hearing people say, time's sped up, and we can't, you know, our lives are just moving so fast and all that stuff. I want to tell everybody that we make time. Time's an illusion, okay? It's created by our reality of what gravity is, and... What speeds time up is the instantaneous efficiency of communication. So if you look at back when we had to write letters and it would take 6 months for something to get to someone, time moved much slower then. Now it's like you think it and it's there via the computer, and pretty soon just via our minds doing it, because that's a talent that's coming back in, then time really is going to appear to move fast. And yet, if you look at the planet and its structure, and this is scientifically proven, at the equator, time moves faster than it does at the north or south pole.
Right, that's
because
right.
There's of the mass densities that have to be traveled.
Right.
So really, time there, you know, it's all distortion, and it's all an illusion that we create and agree upon, you know?
Right.
So... I think, you know, if you get up in the morning and you say thank you to Creator and then kind of plot your course, your days, you're going to make the time. The time's not going to govern you and run you ragged.
Let me ask you one more question, and then I'll interrupt. I'll just let you teach. Did you ever spend much time on the res at Dulce?
Oh, at Dulce?
Hickory Reservation.
Oh, okay, Hickory. No, I didn't spend much time at Hickory. I spent most of my time between three places, at White Mountain, up near Holly Lake, below White Mountain. That's where I grew up.
Well, the reason why I ask you is I went to school with the woman that ended up being their chief, Claudia Vigil Muniz.
Oh, very good.
I was enough with people with her.
Uh-huh.
And she was elected. I'm not sure. I think she's out of office now, but... I was just curious if you knew her.
Yeah, I keep track of politics at White Mountain. That's about as good as I can do.
Yeah. Well, I'll just let you teach now. I won't interrupt you anymore.
So. Okay.
What other people need to know?
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater. Would you think twice about defending yourself or a loved one from an intruder? In this day and age, would you dream of leaving your doors unlocked at night for fear of being burglarized or even attacked or worse? Would you? But when it comes to our own bodies, the doors to our houses are wide open all the time. The very air we breathe and the food we eat, especially here in the United States, creates free radicals that cause us to age and in some cases cause illness, some of which are deadly. Now, for the first time in history, there's a supplement called Protandim that is listed on the U.S. government's PubMed.gov website with many peer-reviewed studies all showing that Protandim is a proven killer of the free radicals that are aging and in some cases even killing us. Now, I'm not talking about killing one molecule of free radical per one molecule of antioxidants like the stuff we've been taking. I'm talking about killing 1 million free radicals per second, per molecule, and this is the very same antioxidant your own body produces. Protandim superchargers your body to create much more than it does without Protandim. There's an old saying that we are warned about in the scriptures. That's the attitude, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So let me ask you, how much money do you spend on food a day? If you're out shopping or at the beach, would you think anything of spending a buck or even more on a can of soda? If there was a vending machine that sold something that killed what was aging you or even killing you, would you even hesitate to spend a buck and a half a day? Well, now there is such a vending machine, and it's sitting right in front of you. It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Hi, friends. This is Will Bluewater. I have a message here from 1975 from John Wayne. It comes right out of today's headlines. So you Indian folks who are following the progressive trend in politics, you're following the people that supported slavery. You're following the people that have enslaved you ever since the Civil War. Listen to John Wayne.
You know, it's a funny thing, the Indians now, this AIM group have started something that now they're against me for some reason, but I am the only man in pictures that always gave them their human dignity. I never was in a picture. I never allowed myself at any time to do anything that would take their human dignity away from them, and that to me is the most important thing in a man's. I have found that a certain type that calls himself a liberal, and I always thought I was a liberal. I came up terribly surprised one time when I found that I was a right-wing conservative extremist. When I have listened to everybody's point of view that I ever met, and then decide how I should feel. I mean, but this so-called new liberal group, Jesus, they never listen to your point of view, and they make a decision as to what you think, and they're articulate enough and in control of enough of the press to force that image out for the average person. For some reason, maybe it's these pictures, they have not been able to do that with me. In spite of what they say, people have not taken sides that I'm it hasn't affected my career in popularity, let's say. In spite of the fact that they've tried to make it do it. There isn't a hell of a lot that we can do to change human behavior. We keep making laws to try and change human behavior. You can't do it. I think you can accept it and feel how you would feel in that position. You're being conned into Keynesianism and socialism now. But it isn't going to stop the selfishness of human behavior. It isn't going to stop the greed. If you take $20 and give a dollar to every son of a bitch in a room, and come back a year later, one of the bastards will have most of the money. I mean, it's just human nature, and they're not gonna whip it with a lot of laws. I think when you make people conscious, as communication gets better, and you make people conscious of somebody in trouble, starving or something like that, the average person will help. But of course now they've got so damn many charities, and there's so much professionalism. You know, there's if you have a charity, you hire some professionals to work up the charity. By the time you get the money, you get $4 for the recipient and $400 for the administrators. So I mean, Christ. I think there are people who try to affect a thinking where they know more than some other son of a bitch and try to put a false impression on what human nature is. Christ's sakes, we have proven that we go back to hope at the first opportunity. Just throw out a little fish and bam, they're out there ready to grab it. So we are optimistic. We have to be optimistic. Christ, what else would there be in life if you lose optimism?
Well, people really need to know right now that they need to start paying attention to what's going on with Earth and her cycle.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking here about Earth, Wind, and Fire, and water here. The elements are really starting to speak up about the changes that are going on.
Yeah.
You know, our polar axis is shifting, and Mama's trying to recreate herself, and this happens cyclically every so often. And so, you know, like the Mayans right now, I know they're all, like, coming together and talking, and the Incans are talking, and different groups of people. And what's happening is that in the prophecies, we look at it, and the last 9 years going into this new Earth paradigm, that's not a destruction of the Earth. It's saying that energy is going to work differently. So we have to change how we work. And but as we're going into this, in mythological context, we call this the initiation of the dragon. So we have 9 initiations we're supposed to go through, and right now we're kind of like in this cyclic change that's happening between now and the new year. It actually falls on the new year. It's what we call the changing dragon wolf moon. And that only happens like once every couple million years, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's not like it's coming back through during our time. But it's helping bring the energies in and reconnect us to the earth is what it's doing. It's bringing us back into that alignment and that realization that we are part of this, and what we do in our lives affects everything else, and what happens out there is going to affect us.
You're right. The Mayan elders are really speaking up.
Yeah.
Carlos Barrios is doing a lot of talking. He's been on our show once. We're going to interview Adam Rubel on Monday night, and that's his contact up in Santa Fe that runs the runs the foundation, the Sacred Road.
Right.
And Hunbot's man did his first radio. Well, Ghost Roll says he never did a radio interview before he did ours.
No, I believe that's probably possible.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to have him on probably again sometime soon.
Yeah. Well, they're saying that now's the time of the fire, because with the tsunami, we had the water. with the Hurricane Katrina, we had the air. Then with this last earthquake, we had the earth upheaval, and now it comes the fire, which is the volcanoes. And, you know, the big prophecy is all around the ring of fire that goes around the Pacific, so.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a matter of looking and seeing what's happening.
Lynn, yeah, you had earth, air, wind, and fire. Let's see. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, the volcano that went off in Mexico not long ago, that's a little one, but it's the discussion right now seems to be surrounding over whether there's going to be one big thing that happens, you know.
Well, the Earth opened up like an 18-mile crack in Mexico or
right,
last
yeah.
year or so, or within the last 9 months, so there's
yeah.
Earth.
Well, what we see happening is that there's a lot of little things going on that's kind of like relieving the stress.
Yeah.
And so we're in a position right now of deciding how extensive it's going to be by our behaviors and our belief patterns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's going on with the Earth right now kind of reminds me of my mom when she loses her temper.
Yeah.
You know?
It's, I don't know that you could say that she's losing her temper as much as she's going through a life change.
Blowing
you
up.
You know, like we all go through different life changes as we're growing older. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, well, like menopause, okay, for older women and midlife for men, you know, where suddenly gravity has more relevance in our life. And so she's making the shifts, and she's growing, and to think that anything else is going to happen because, you know, one of the biggest problems I see is that we've gotten so distant and so far from believing things are alive that, you know, just because they can't talk to us doesn't mean they're not alive. There are other ways of
Now we got
an atom moving, it's alive, you know?
Now we got Mother Earth on PMS. Ooh.
Yeah. Well, kind of. I would say more going into labor.
a creator in a midlife crisis.
Yeah, there you go. I know. I've been really... I got struck by lightning a year ago. I took people out on Vision Quest, and I got struck by lightning, and... so my doctors have been watching me, and I've been healing, like... through traditional ways, but having documented through other ways, because I want people to see that the old ways work, you know. So unfortunately, a lot of that has to be documented through contemporary ways.
To get burned.
But one of the things is that all of a sudden I'm really tuned into the mother. So like when things happen, it's like my body gets these. And it's almost, you know, if you think back to the stories you would hear about people with arthritis, how when it's going to rain, their arthritis kicks in and stuff. And I actually have experiences like right before the earthquake, the whole earth shook and I fell. And yet I was not at the place that the earthquake occurred. So there's different things that happen, and I'm watching this and I'm going, wow, this is really interesting because... as the energies come in and humans evolve, we feel more of that interconnection. So, you know, I just am amazed because I watch all these folks that come to me and they're complaining about all these physical symptoms, and I'm like, well, you're just feeling the earth. And that's all that's happening.
yeah.
So
that's pretty serious, getting hit by lightning, you know.
It
wasn't any coincidence because there's a lot of people that they get hit and then... all of a sudden they're turned on psychically or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know the Incans in my family got really excited about it. They're like, okay.
we've
been doing ceremony ever since. The ceremony that they've got me doing is a progressional series of rites of passages that'll be over with probably next spring, but... It's been interesting because I find through the rites of passages and the traditional medicines and stuff that I'm getting better. You know, there was some neurological damage and stuff that happened, but it's all healing itself and things are getting much better. And yet statistically, when I look at Western medicine and what they provide me to study about other people that have been hit by lightning, it's not a natural occurrence. It's like the symptoms continue on until the end of their life and stuff like that. So it's interesting. It's kind of like a new area of study for me, so I get all amped up over it.
Well, now you're working with, is it the What the Bleep Do We Know People? Is that how I found out about you?
I don't know how you found out about it.
Well, there's a
big, we don't work with them.
There's a big conference that you work with. It's a group of other people. I can't remember which one it is.
Well, we did one pilgrimage for the Prophets Conference.
That's
people.
It, the Prophets Conference.
Yeah, but we don't work with them anymore. We did one thing for them. They hired us as guides. And
okay.
Yeah.
They got bunch of interesting personalities in there.
Yeah, they do.
Yep.
But, you know, every group does, so.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's, you know, on the New Age folks, you have to give them credit, you know, for well, they are fulfilling prophecies because,
right.
You know, they started listening, but, you know, only two or three generations after their ancestors were killing us.
Right.
And now you got the flip side situation where you know, a lot of the full-bloods aren't listening anymore, and they're out in denial and
right.
Basically kind of acting like white people used to, greed and soap power and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like the world's upside down. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And
it really is.
But we're really past the crest of the wave with prophecy keepers because the new agers they actually were listening to the prophecies more 10 years ago than they are now. They seem more to be interested in pilgrimages now.
Right now they're interested in getting out on the land and
yeah.
You know, that's my favorite kind of thing to do is take people out on the land. So for me, it works really well. I think the biggest healings come from just sitting them down next to a tree.
Mm-hmm.
So seldom do they step out and actually make that contact.
Yeah.
I agree. I what I find, though, with the New Agers, and I don't want to call them, New Agers is such a, it has such a connotation.
Yeah, it does. Lack of a better word, we'll call them.
And it's not just them, it's our people too, and that is that everybody, all the children of the Four Directions have got into this frame of mind that they want this microwave fix in a minute, you know?
Yeah, that's
And it's like, they don't want to put in the work, they go to a workshop
yep.
for a weekend and either come out and say I'm an expert at something, or I'm healed or I'm not healed. And yet, you know, I believe our traditional healers, and there are miraculous healings, and I've been witness to some and been involved in some, but it completely takes looking at your entire lifestyle and changing it around and coming back full circle with the earth, or it's not going to happen, you know? And what I see is so many people go into this stuff, and then they don't trust that it's even going to work. Like, before they're even out of one of these workshops, they're planning their next workshop
yep.
to heal the same thing. And it's like, well, if you don't believe it's going to work, what kind of power does it have? You know, because the power in that connection is all, that's all fed by our belief system.
Yep.
So, anyway,
well,
that's kind
of... You got to start somewhere.
Yeah. Plus, they need to address all the levels, not just, you know, like, I see spirituality as a place to hide, too.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's awful hard when there's been such a disconnect for, you know,
right.
years. Where do you start? You got to start somewhere. And
right.
I suspect what's going to happen is that, well, you know, the Chickamauga Cherokees have a prophecy that eventually will go through all this time of invention, then we'll be taken back to the dirt.
Right.
And because Creator had something to teach us by going through this culture of invention,
mm-hmm.
but there just comes to a certain point where you can't be taught anymore without taking you back to the dirt, literally.
That's right.
And it's going to be very, very, very hard on a lot of people. I know it's going to be real hard on me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 200 pounds overweight. You know, plan on losing at least 100 of that this next year. And
yeah.
But, because I know if I don't, you know, I'm just not going to be able to operate and get out and do planting and
right.
Gardening and all that other kind of stuff. But I'm not alone. At least,
no,
at least
you're not.
I'm not diabetic. You know, so many of us are diabetic. And,
yeah.
And my wife's recently found a good remedy of about 14 different herbs. And,
uh-huh.
And there's... there's some interesting things that are coming out in natural healing. There's been a lot of talk, but seems like they're starting to get some things right because this stuff she's taken The second day, she started feeling the energy rush, and
good for her.
Well, you know, it's guaranteed. You drop 50 points in 30 days, you get your money back.
Very good.
And if you're not ecstatic about it in 365 days, they will give you your money back. So,
thank
you. Pretty well on it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm happy for her.
Yeah, there's some good things, but then you have people fighting it.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds.
Oh yeah.
You have the interest that. But according to what I've read, if this were 100 years ago, 95% of the people that are diabetic would not be diabetic.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, they found a correlation. My son did research when he was in college, and they found the correlation between the introduction of dairy products with the diabetes. So basically, if we just took all our kids off dairy products, we'd probably be at least 75% better.
And they recently found something that's in white flour that caused problems too. I know. Well, there was one traditional Bear Clan Navajo elder, Alan Nezkai. He lived at Cortez, Colorado, and he was 61. I think he'd had two amputations and was just about ready to die. He was on dialysis. Matter of fact, he died a few months later. We threw a traditional honor powwow for him, and all he could preach was, hey, you know, 40% of us are diabetic, 15% of those people are on dialysis. He says, get off the white man's sugar and flour and everything. He says, not to be racist, but if it's white, you know, stay away from it because it's processed.
I understand. My grandpa, he lived to be 103, and the one thing I always noticed about him was he was always reading labels. And what he taught me, I still teach today. Basically, if you cannot pronounce it, do not put it in your body.
Well, Alan's father and grandfather both lived to be over 100 years old, and he died at 62. What does that tell you?
Yeah, a lot.
Yep.
A lot.
It's a sad situation because diabetes hits Native people harder than it does white people.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely...
And they're poor. They can't afford a better diet, and they're saying it's the type of fats that we're eating also.
Mm.
And the highly processed fats. And
yeah.
So, well, they're recommending, you know, get back to olive oils or coconut oil and stuff like that. I know Betty had a tumor pop up on her left shoulder. My wife, Betty, had a tumor pop up on her left shoulder blade last February.
Yeah, I remember. Uh-huh.
And she started taking coconut oil, and it immediately started shrinking. And it was smaller when they got in there. It was smaller than it was when they CAT scanned it or MRI'd it.
Very
so
good.
It did some good.
Very good.
It did some good. It's expensive. It's $50 a gallon, but it's worth it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, see, that's part of the lifestyle change that has to occur. It's like, how are we valuing our lives? How are we valuing the earth? It's like, okay, yeah, it's $50, and that's going to take a bite out of the budget. But is it worth it if it's going to improve our lives and
well,
let us live longer, happier lives?
She just started taking a teaspoon of it. She didn't really as much cook with it as she just ate a teaspoon of it.
Yeah.
And
good
stuff. And well, what do you think of? Do you know much of the Lipan? Because the grandfather Stalking Wolf, who's given us so many prophecies, was Lipan.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the Apaches say, well, he didn't even exist, but it's Tom Brown Jr.'s teacher.
Yes.
And but they're Texas. They're I understand they were Texas Apaches, but he left the res at a young age and never really went back. He started walking all through the Americas.
Yeah. I'm familiar with some of Tom Brown's work, and I actually have friends that the folks Penny and James, Penny Livingston and James Stark, that are the Northern California Permaculture Institute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Northern California Permaculture Institute, it's a mouthful. They work with John Young, who is one of Tom's apprentices.
Mm.
Has done a lot of stuff. So they offer a lot of classes that are oriented around the information that he got.
Mm-hmm.
I have found it to be really, really helpful with a lot of people. Somebody's walking on my roof. Sorry about that.
Oh, but this is the feds.
No, my landlord's been doing work, and I guess he wasn't around all morning, and then all of a sudden it sounds like he's up on top
of it. It's freaking out.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I have found that a lot of the people that I might be a little too traditional for, I find upon occasion I need a translator, you know, that next step towards that understanding, that common ground of understanding. Communication is really hard because if you base it in our cultures and our experiences, and we can be speaking the same words but have them mean completely different things.
Yeah.
And so everybody's making this assumption that we're understanding each other.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It is so great to have our friend Marie Osmond back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She's the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and
right.
New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals. And, you know, it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken-tasting
right.
garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff. And I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed. It's convenient. Stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable. It's convenient. It tastes really good. Taste the peaches. They're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like dehydrated.
Good.
And freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm trying it right now. Marie
put it
Osmond.
Under your bed, put it in your closet, give it for Christmas to people, and save lives.
Thank you very much. Will you tell Donnie that we said we hope his rear feels better?
Well, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No, Marie Osmond, great having you on.
It's
the Wise
so fun
Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. This is a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org.
Well, that's good. And it's nice that, you know, the audience can... You know, I mean, they're not here on the phone with us, but what I try to do, I had no idea in 1977 when I married my first wife what being led by the Spirit was. And, you know, and she, kicking and screaming, you know, she,
uh-huh.
you know, taught it to me. And so that's the way I run this show. You know, unless a guest absolutely insists, and there's only been one that sent me a bunch of questions to ask him, and I just there's because that's the track he runs on, and you know, that's a big deal. But I just let Spirit run this show, and you know, some you know, usually we have a show every week. You know, we've had less than four shows a month the last couple months, but. You know, we're going to have three or four interviews this week. It's just,
very good.
It's just, you know, it's just the, things are changing, and I got to let Spirit run this show. If I didn't, we couldn't keep it funded.
That's good.
So we just have to run it that way. And so that if you're out there, folks, and you. I think Prophecy Keepers is kind of a wreck because we're not on a schedule like, you know, coast to coast. Well, that's just the way it is. We're on Indian time.
Yeah.
That's what it's like. So.
Yes, it is.
But anyway, well, what's the immediate future hold for you?
Well, I'm going up to the San Francisco Bay Area. Next month I got a week of workshops and different things to do up there. And currently working on two new books and just seeing where life's going to take me.
Do you know a fellow in San Diego area named Grandfather Hummingbird?
I don't know him, but I have relatives that do.
Huh. I've gotten a letter from him.
We have two grandmothers, you know. We have the clan elder system in our circle, and we honor the kids and we honor the elders, and we try to teach people about how to live traditional lifestyles in contemporary times. And so we have a couple of the grandmothers that have been here forever. My adopted Cherokee mom, she was head of Native American Studies here for a long time at San Diego State, and then another Yaya, and they're both friends of his.
Oh, I'll be darned.
It was my understanding that he's not getting around really well these days, but he's kind of up there.
Well, shoot, maybe we ought to have him on the show.
Maybe. I can get Yaya Colette in touch with you. She would be the one that would know where to find him.
Yeah. He's not on the internet, but the people that he teaches contacted me, and then he called me.
Oh, very good.
And we talked for a while, but I really wasn't sure who he was or what he was.
Yeah.
I just couldn't tell, you know, if he was a traditional teacher or because the language he was speaking in, New Age folk would understand a lot more than I did.
When I first started teaching and New Age started coming into my life, I actually needed somebody to translate for me because I was like looking at people with this blank look on my face like, what are you talking about? So I understand that very well.
Okay, alrighty. Well, there's a lot of different bands. Oh, California's got, they got so many different bands that people probably know. I'll bet of the 550 that are federally recognized in this country, probably 100 of them are in California.
Well, probably there's lots of little groups. I think we have like 50 just here in San Diego County.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch around that I grew up part of the time down around San Juan Capistrano, Laguna Hill.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
And they're getting ready to get recognized.
Yeah.
Boy, it takes money, I'll tell you. The last few that have been federally recognized, it took, $500,000 or more. And
that's
a lot of money.
I sat and I was an advisor to a woman that was working with the Scout Club in Connecticut when they were trying to get their recognition.
Oh.
And I think that just went through like last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it opens doors and closes others.
Yes, it does.
And, it kind of, it just seems like, well, I guess a band that I belong to filed, the Indian Creek band, Chickamauga Creek people, and they, and I parted company over another issue, but I guess the BIA required you have a certain number of people that had to at least 112.
Right.
And or it wouldn't fly. And but after that, there's Menominees. If you're married to somebody in the tribe, you're a full member.
Right, yeah.
It just depends on the tribe.
Yeah.
What they want to do. I know the Cherokee Nation gets laughed at because 90% of them look white, but from the time of before European contact, if you were 11th generation one drop of Cherokee, 1/1064th, you're still Cherokee.
Yeah.
But now you have now you have people that laugh at that just because of white. Well, I tell the Lakota and other Sioux people, I said, you just wait another 50 years, you'll look just like us.
Yeah.
Because, or 50 or 100 years, because we were some of the first people the whites came in contact with, and now and unfortunately, we hear that a lot of their half breed children, the half breed Asian children, half breed black children, they're just kind of being thrown away, orphaned, in some of these bands in the.
I hadn't heard that, but I wondered. I've known
I knew one man. Yeah, I have lots of Lakota friends, and they're really great. But I have met, you know, there was the one man I met about 15 years ago, and he was married to an Apache woman. That's how I met him. And their children were half Apache and half Lakota. And yet, he refused to teach them his traditional ways because of impure blood.
Yeah, yeah, and that's their culture, you know.
I'd like to think that it's not the culture, but just a few individuals. But
yeah, who knows?
I don't know. I have heard that there is this belief that they will be the last of their race. So I don't.
Yeah.
It's all kind of.
Well, Charles Yao.
It's the Bible. You can look in different areas and find different things.
Well, Charles Yao is a.
And I'm not real familiar with the Bible, but that is what little study I've done of it. I have noticed that you can just kind of find whatever you want supported.
Yeah, pretty much.
The court you're on.
And the Charles, my friend, an attorney, Charles Yao. He's from Missouri. He's a Missouri mixed blood Cherokee, but he lives down in Mississippi. But I haven't heard from him since the hurricane, so I don't know if he's still alive.
Yeah.
But he had a practice on the, well, he was the tribal council for the Oglala Sioux tribe.
Uh-huh.
And he opened up a, as a matter of fact, you can go to redcloudlaw.com or yowlaw.com. He got real close to Oliver Red Cloud and was doing some good things on the res. And, you know, there's this thing between the Cherokee and the Sioux that goes way back. And a lot of them laugh at Cherokee. And he said, and they laughed at him, too, because, you know, he looks white.
Uh-huh.
He said, but there was this one meeting where he recalled the story of how the Cherokees chased the Sioux all the way from the East Coast out onto the plains.
Oh, I know that story.
And he said the elders, he says, after that, he says, the elders called him in and he said, because you have told us that story, we will now respect you. We respect no Cherokees that do not recall that story and relate it to us.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. In other words, it's like they don't, we will not validate you as a Cherokee traditionally unless you know that story. And which is kind of interesting, you know, because they can be difficult people, and they're, as far as their religiosity is concerned, you know, it's much more liturgical. In other words, you know, the what they say in their ceremonies is kind of set more in stone, and you know, it's like the difference between the Catholics and say Universal Unitarian University,
right.
You know,
more dogmatic.
More dogmatic on one end and totally free form on the other. And Cherokee,
right.
You know, Cherokee, everybody. There is no set medicine. Everybody develops their own. And,
yeah.
And a lot of the medicine that they learn, they never teach to anybody. It's just theirs.
Right.
And they just develop it. And that just goes to show you the diversity of culture. And, you know, my teacher, John Redhead, he says, diversity is the mark of creator. He
yes,
says, so you really can't talk bad about anybody because they're different. He says, that's the way it's supposed
no.
to be. Well, we do get mad at them sometime, I'll tell you.
but who doesn't? You know, it's part of being human.
Yeah, sure.
So, hey, listen, bro, I'm going to have to get going.
I was just going to say, Spirit just told me the interview is over.
Okay. Well, you're lucky.
Amazing.
You have a good journey.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right.
I'll let you know when it's up online. You can let your 500,000 friends know.
okay, honey. We'll talk
thanks
to you later.
A lot. Hey, bye-bye.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It's the little yellow pill that scientists say could eliminate chronic diseases and help you live well into your hundreds.
You might be able to increase the lifespan of a mammal by 50%. And, of course, if that was a human being, then that might be in the order of 130 to 150 years.
That claim might be hard to swallow. But tonight on ABC's Primetime Live, co-anchor John Quinones takes the promising antioxidant therapy called Protandim.
I have become a guinea pig for ABC News and Primetime. It's not a drug. It's a supplement. It's called Protandim, and it's a combination of five exotic plants that have been around for centuries.
Have you discovered the fountain of youth?
I wouldn't put it that way, but we may have discovered something that will tell us a lot more about how we age, what happens biochemically, and maybe how we can slow it down.
Ken Yonez has been taking Protandim for 2 weeks now and tells Extra,
I am sleeping better. I feel a lot better and also energized when I do wake up.
Primetime puts Protandim to the test tonight.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now. Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet, all for $9.99, formerly priced at $29.99. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
You want to get an edge on turning back the clock with just a few pills? Who doesn't? Well, it's no longer science fiction, but science possibility, a potential breakthrough. As I found out firsthand, there may be a way to erase years, at least inside my body. Granted, it's down the road, but some scientists are wondering if a new pill I took might offer a very long life.
It may not look like the Fountain of Youth, but inside this nondescript building, I'm about to become part of an exciting experiment, a kind of guinea pig.
Dr. McCord, okay.
I'm here at the University of Colorado in Denver to meet Dr. Joe McCord, a world-renowned scientist.
This is pretty exciting stuff you're finding, huh?
It is. We're very excited about it.
His latest research could very well unravel the mystery of aging itself. And his decades of experiments may have the potential of adding years to people's lives and possibly prevent chronic diseases like cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. It all centers around this small yellow pill, and for me, it begins with a blood test.
It wouldn't be the first time I've given blood for this company.
They want to check my levels of something called T-bars, which is a rough indicator of a person's actual age. T-bars can identify a condition known as oxidative stress, a kind of measure of the wear and tear on our bodies. Oxidative stress, like the rusting of an engine, is not a good thing.
Bad for the body.
Leading to disease.
Leading to disease and leading to malfunction and, importantly, leading to what we call aging. It is a slow progression of increasing oxidative stress. That's the main characteristic biochemically of the aging process.
The problem of aging begins with the very food we eat to give us energy. As our cells burn that food, they also release toxic chemicals. Those chemicals, you may know them as free radicals, react with all the components of our cells, literally bombarding them millions of times per second, damaging all our cells. The result? Oxidative stress. And we all have it. The body fights back with a system of defenses. It makes two antioxidant enzymes, catalase and SOD, whose job is to gobble up the free radicals before they can harm our cells.
So, doctor, how often do I take these?
And so, here I go. With that swallow, I've just become part of a potentially landmark scientific experiment.
Doesn't taste bad.
It's called Protandim, and tests on both mice and humans have already shown that it revs up the manufacture of those good enzymes in our bodies. More enzymes, fewer free radicals to harm us. Whether that will lead to longer life is still unknown. Experiments to see if mice live longer are about to get underway, but it's a tantalizing theory.
Right now, all we know is that this preparation decreases oxidative stress. Oxidative stress is not a disease, just like aging is not in itself a disease, but it's something that accompanies and is attached to many disease processes. So you can see the age-related...
Normally, oxidative stress, measured by those T-bars, increases with age. But in Dr. McCord's tests, taking just one pill of Protandim a day reversed that trend for everyone at every age, even for an 80-year-old.
They all are reduced to the level of oxidative stress that one would expect, frankly, in a newborn or a very young child.
Back to the oxidative stress levels of a child? It sounds too good to be true. Will Protandim work on me?
The scientific evidence is there. The pieces seem to make sense. The question is, does this translate into something that humans can take advantage of?
And so, ancient Eastern healing and modern Western medicine may soon be working together. High oxidative stress is associated with more than aging. It's been linked to hundreds of illnesses.
It's at the very center of many diseases. Liver disease, diabetes, emphysema, asthma. I've studied all of these, strokes, heart attacks.
Even mental disease?
Yes.
Depression?
Alzheimer's disease, depression.
Dr. James Crapo with the National Jewish Medical Center in Denver is also researching Protandim for the company.
Are you saying that this could be a cure-all?
You're looking at something that will have a small impact, but an important impact.
We make no claims about curing any disease or preventing any disease. We hope that when enough studies are done, perhaps such claims might be able to be made in the future.
Clinical studies to assess Protandim in both diabetes and heart disease should start in 3 to 4 months. But what about my progress? After nearly 2 weeks now, it's time to get my results. Dr. McCord calculates the numbers. The result? My level of oxidative stress has declined dramatically.
45%, that's excellent.
Just look at where I fall on the graph, before and after.
Which, if extrapolated back, is the level you would see in a newborn baby.
Have we turned back the clock? Well, maybe not on the outside, but deep inside, within my cells. Yes, indeed.
Would you suggest I keep taking this supplement?
I would. I can't guarantee it's going to extend your life. I can't guarantee it's going to eliminate any diseases or cure any diseases.
But we do know that oxidative stress is part of those disease processes. I don't want to wait until I'm 80 years old and find out that I should have taken it.
For more, go to our website at abcnews.com.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Major universities and government agencies initiated and continue self-funded studies following the ABC Primetime Investigative Report you just viewed that originally aired in 2005. These studies continue to reveal more scientific evidence about Protandim's unique benefits. They are published in major scientific and medical journals. The next video will bring you up to date.
Developed after 40 years of research and exclusively for LifeVantage, Protandim is a true scientific breakthrough in anti-aging. Protandim has been reported on ABC, NBC, and PBS, featured in the Wall Street Journal, and described in CNN Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta's book, Chasing Life, The Quest for Immortality. Protandim's creator, Dr. Joe McCord, is a world-renowned scientist and a pioneer in free radical biology. Dr. McCord is the discoverer of the key anti-aging enzyme, superoxide dismutase. His role in the discovery is so significant, the enzyme is measured in McCord units. For Dr. McCord's discovery of superoxide dismutase and his contributions in free radical biology, he was awarded the Elliott Crescent Medal. This medal is awarded to distinguished inventors and scientists, putting Dr. McCord in the same company as Pierre and Marie Curie, Alexander Graham Bell, Orville Wright, and Henry Ford. Dr. Joe McCord has devoted his life's work to the study of free radicals, their role in aging, and the many problems associated with aging. Consumers spend billions every year on antioxidants in the form of food and supplements, hoping to reduce these free radicals. But antioxidants from these sources can only eliminate one free radical for every one antioxidant molecule you consume. Protandim is scientifically proven to slow cellular damage caused by free radicals. Taking one Protandim one time per day for 30 days turns on these anti-aging enzymes in your body. Your own enzymes eliminate free radicals at a rate of 1 million to 1.
I think any other supplements that are designed to be antioxidant supplements probably are no longer needed because Protandim solves that problem in a much more effective way.
Protandim is a breakthrough poised to revolutionize the anti-aging industry. It is an entirely new and scientifically validated way to fight aging, reducing your oxidative stress levels to that of a 20-year-old after just 30 days.
We found, as many other scientists had documented, that there is a progressive increase in T-bars in your blood the older you get. When these same people took Protandim for 30 days, the age-dependent increase in lipid peroxidation was completely eliminated. After Protandim, we could no longer distinguish the 80-year-old from the 20-year-old.
Protandim is protected by three U.S. patents. Universities around the world continue to initiate and fund their own studies of Protandim and to evaluate how this anti-aging breakthrough can prevent and improve many of the hundreds of problems associated with aging.
Many academic scientists at a number of universities have begun studying Protandim because it represents a new tool. It represents a way of reducing oxidative stress that wasn't available before. There simply was not a good way of doing what Protandim does. Protandim interacts with the DNA in your cells and causes the cells to make more of a set of genes called survival genes.
One step into the light, one step away from night. It's the hardest step you're gonna take. The ship to take you there is waiting at the head of the stairs that lead up through your opened mind.
And you are listening to Radio RMN here on The Micro Effect. My name is Rayland, and I'm talking to Will Bluewater. And we were just about to go into the prophecy, which is in many different religions worldwide, about the 3 days of night. And Will, you told me that happens, what, every 7,000 years? Did I remember the time frame right?
Ezekiel spoke of it, and of course Ezekiel, he was ministering about 2,600 years ago. And because he was the one that told the Northern Kingdom that they had to come back, that they were going to go into exile, and that they must come back within 390 years, or they wouldn't get a chance to till seven times that. And they didn't come back in 390. Seven times that was the same month as the financial collapse in 2008, and that's dated from the First Temple. One point I didn't make about the Berbers is when Brian Wilkes took a look at the Cherokee syllabary and the Berber writing, he realized that was the origin of the Cherokee syllabary, which has been it's our alphabet. It has about 82 characters in it. But the 3 days of darkness, what happened was in 1985, I had a dream where an Indian man, kind of plump, pockmarked face, appeared to me in a dream. I had no idea who he was at that time. He had a white stone around his neck, It was on a chain. There was a key embedded in the stone, and his name was written in the stone, but I wasn't allowed to remember it. But he just said, when are you going to do something about Gardner Green's genealogy? Well, I knew Gardner Green was my seventh great-grandfather. And so when my wife and I started doing genealogy at that point in the mid-80s, because I got a job where we traveled a lot, and I found natural gas leaks in the second half of the 80s, so we were able to travel to every county and city and genealogical connection during those days, because we were crisscrossing the southeast. And I just started collecting prophecies, because, you know, it interested me. And my first wife passed away in April of 1995, and the next year I published a 32-page typewritten newsletter. I just gave it away, and I said, hey, you know, if you want to copy it, you know, fine, and you're free to do so. Within 6 months, I got a letter from Australia, you know, we want to know more, and I got a letter from Dr. Leo Sprinkle. He's the famous UFO psychologist, mainstream psychologist that's looking into the abduction phenomena. He said, we want more. So the internet was young then, and so I got on the internet and started collecting the prophecies and put them in one place. Well, that year, let me preface this by saying that Rolling Thunder was my teacher in the early 1990s. He was the most famous medicine man of the 20th century. Bob Dylan wrote songs about him. The Grateful Dead followed him around. They did an album, you know, called, you know, Rolling Thunder Review. And anyway, Mad Bear Anderson was a close associate of Rolling Thunder. Mad Bear was a Tuscarora. He was a faith keeper in the Six Nation Confederacy. And in the 50s and 60s, he traveled all over the world as a merchant mariner. And he would do a job, walk up into the mountains, live with the people for a few months, collect information, because he knew about the prophecy of the condor of the south someday sharing its tears with the eagles of the north. And, you know, he met people in Southeast Asia. He met the Hmong people, who also wear turbans, and they have a lot of customs the same. And he was the guy that originated the Haudenosaunee passport. He's the reason why whale wars, those guys are flying the Haudenosaunee flag. Haudenosaunee is the Six Nations Iroquois. But he was the spiritual originator of the American Indian movement. So in 96, I knew a book had been written by Doug Boyd, who had written a book about Rolling Thunder, and I knew Boyd had written a book about Mad Bear, but I'd never seen it. But that year, I saw a picture of Mad Bear for the first time, and I realized, wow, that's the guy. Then I found out he passed away in 1985, and I went, wow, that's really interesting. So, and I'm not the only one that he's appeared to, but in that book, Mad Bear by Doug Boyd, Mad Bear said that he was writing a book called Earth Mother Crying, which was a collection of the prophecies, and he said someday someone is going to collect all the prophecies, put them together in one place, and he says then we really will have something. And so in my looking around at all the different traditions and the mystics of Europe and the black people in Africa and the red people in the Bible and the Book of Mormon, they all talk about 3 days of darkness.
Right.
So that's how I found out about it. That was the one thing that really stuck out. And
now, what is the 3 days? Why does it happen? What happens? What happens to the earth when it happens?
I didn't really put too much stock in Planet X or anything. I let things kind of come to me naturally. I don't go looking for them, because there's enough stuff out there you can really become confused. But I think it's very possible that the passage of another planet, its magnetic field coming in contact with ours and slowing it down. Now the Hopi say that this Earth has been turned over four times before, in their memory. And they
said that means
that,
a pole shift? Is that what they're talking
about?
Well,
it would have to be, because they said we are going to return to our original clockwise rotation.
Mm-hmm.
And or opposite of whatever it is now. I'm a little tired. I've been planting all day and gardening. And anyway, he says our rotation is going to return to what it was before. And I read that physicists say that if the rotation of the Earth were changed, that instead of energy being drained out of us, it would be injected up and into us, and that may account for the Bible predictions that the curse will be taken off the land, and we won't have to deal with thorns and thistles, and it could
wow.
be a real game changer. But
wouldn't that be just absolutely incredible?
But apparently, some force will cause the Earth's rotation to slow for a while, slow down, stop, and then stop, start rotating in the other direction. And now gravity, I mean, you're attracted to the largest, to whatever body that has the most mass. So we wouldn't fly off of the planet like some idiots that had a insurance commercial that talk about
yes.
all the Mayan prophecies. That's bull.
I saw that one, yes.
And, I think, and of course the Hopis say, when this happens, you need to be in the mountains and forests. You need to be away from the cities. There have been other problems.
People will go crazy in the cities.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
Stalking
they will.
Wolf
just...
And others, it said the sky will turn red, and this will be a signal as it's time to get out, and away, as far away as you can from authorities, so there's a lot of signs, a lot of warnings that certain things are going to happen, and at certain times, it's not rocket science to find out what these things are. Just have to do a little reading.
Now, does the 3 days of darkness? Is there any time frame attached to that? I mean, December 2012 was attached to the Mayan prophecy. Is there any time frame attached to the 3 days of darkness?
Well, not that I could discern. I interviewed Carlos Barrios, a Mayan elder, and Hunbat's man, who's a Mayan daykeeper. And they really were kind of nonplussed, by the non-Mayan writers, attaching a lot of significance to this date being written in stone. They said, in their tradition, it could be 15 years earlier or later, and they said, there's going to be a big change. And they said, how severe the change is, depends on the attitude of the people. And it could be different in different places on the planet. There are Mormon prophecies that indicate that there will be places of refuge, where the sun will be shining and, life will be good, but in other places, there'll be darkness and confusion but as far as the time frame, no, not that I know of. I think it's interesting. Years ago, I saw a movie that had Peter Fonda in it. I think he made it back. I've been trying to figure out the name of it. I just remember he made a movie that he and a group of people were living on another planet, and that there were two groups. There was the traditional religionists and the scientists. And they were both vying for the attention of the people, and the scientists knew that the 3 days of darkness was coming. And and of course the religionists were saying, "Oh, this is a curse, and it's because we've been bad." And the scientists said, "No, no, it's not. It's just cyclical." And reason did not prevail, and instead of just going into their houses and hunkering down, people went crazy, started killing each other, and out of fear. And of course, you can imagine, the vast majority of people on this planet are not being told, what's going to happen. They're just being, given hints about what kind of hardware, the governments are are getting together, and we know that our government is digging in and has been for some time. And
right.
You know, which leaves, you know, our rear ends hanging out.
It certainly does, doesn't it? All of us. Yeah, not the ones that, you know, are the chosen few who get to go into the underground caverns mm-hmm. and try to survive there. Mm-hmm. You know, you were talking about Matt Bear, and I noticed that his last name is Anderson, too. Is there any, and you look like him. Is there any relation between the two of you?
But, my Andersons came from Sweden in, you know, 1890s, and had my father stayed and my grandfather stayed in Sweden, my dad's name would have been Andreasen, and you know, his father's name would have been Carlson, and no, it's, you know, they're
what
Scottish.
What a coincidence, though.
Yeah, I suppose so. They're a Scottish, Anderson, you know, is a subdivision of one of the Scottish clans, because the Scandinavians, there are three, parts of Scottish clans, you know, Celts, Gales and Scandinavians, and my mother's mother was a Wilson, so I descend from the Gunny clan, and that Sinclair was aligned with Roslyn Chapel, that fella.
At Roslyn Chapel, interesting.
The northernmost Scottish clan.
Sure. Someone just mentioned that Gunny clan to me, and I can't remember who it was,
and,
but just this week.
Gunny's a name in the Bible.
I didn't know that. Where?
Can't remember right now. I just know it is. And I was reading on the Gunny clan website, and, but it is a name that can be found in the Bible.
Okay, well, I know that you know a little bit about the third secret of Fatima. Where did you get the information for the third secret of Fatima?
When I was looking into Catholic mystical prophecies,
mm-hmm.
I ran across a website that apparently in the mid-80s, John Paul II was buttonholed by some very devout Catholics in Germany. And it was written in Stimme des Glaubens magazine. And they were saying, you know, well, you know, what's the deal with the third secret of Fatima? And basically, he said, and I'll paraphrase, he said, well, he says, if we were to tell you that entire continents could be overswept by oceans or by sheets of ice, and billions could be swept away to death in a matter of minutes, that is not something so much that would be desired. But on that same website, the Catholic mystics said that this event would be associated with the appearance of a certain star, which is basically, you know, it's the same thing that the Hopi elders were saying, that there's going to be flooding, and that it will preceded by a blue star Kachina, red star Kachina, which will appear when the blue star Kachina is in the sky. And the Mayan elders, or the Popey elders, when Hale Bopp was in the sky, said that this red star would be discovered, would take a telescope, but it would be discovered when 7 years from the disappearance of Hale Bopp. I didn't even know about that prophecy until the exact month of the end of the 7 years, and then I found myself onto Robert Ghostwolf's website right about the time I was starting the radio show, and contacted him, and so we kind of became partners in the first incarnation of Prophecy Keepers Radio. But he passed away in December of 2005, and. But there's a definite connection between Catholic mysticism and the Hopi prophecy. And, you know, the Hopi and the Mayans, you know, the final glyph, you know, that describes, you know, is a giant vessel upturned with water flowing out of it. Now, the Christians would say, oh, the Bible says there's not going to be a flood, and I would say, excuse me, you need to go to Genesis and you need to read, and it says that God will never again use floods to destroy all life. But
right.
During the Exodus, it was very clear that he reserved the right to use floods to destroy erring nations.
I can understand that.
But I get a lot of arguments from, because there's so many myths that Christians believe about the Bible.
Well, there's a purification day that seems to be a Hopi purification day, but Edgar Cayce talked about that too, and it also says that 2004 is going to be the beginning of a new race. Can you talk about that? What is the Hopi Purification Day?
Well,
and how is Edgar Cayce related to that?
Well, to tell you the truth, I don't remember Cayce talking about 2004. I do know that he made the comment that see, one of the things I followed up on is how after running around for 20 years and trying to make preparations and not knowing what to prepare for, I started looking into, well, you know, there was divine intervention. You know, how do you
right.
qualify for it? And I found out the way to qualify for divine intervention and to be fed like stall-fed calves is to live what in the Bible would call all things in common, which is what the apostles lived after the death of Jesus. Matter of fact, Ananias and Sapphira were killed by the Holy Spirit because they entered that order but held back some of their belongings. And but it's a very sacred thing, and this is my fourth ebook, which is called All Things Common, the tribal way of living that Jesus taught. And I looked at the different traditions. But this is also what Gordon Michael Scallion and others have seen is going to be the way we're going to have to live to get through this time that's coming. He saw all kinds of agricultural communities springing up all over the place. And having to learn to live together in small groups. And then when you do the research, you know, you find out that, you know, you have to keep these organizations pretty small. It can't be more than, you know, a couple hundred people. A friend of mine in Missouri was a real expert on this by the name of, Senior Moment. I'll remember it here in a minute. Anyway.
I have those all the time.
Dick Bauman. And did a lot of work on that. I just came to the conclusion there's no other way to find, and this is my whole point, everybody that's out there, and I get tangential and beat around the bush a lot, but I want everybody to remember is that you have the right, the birthright, to have a direct connection with your Creator and to learn how to have Him speak to you directly. You just have to learn how to listen. And it's not that hard. You just need to, basically, the way I learned from a fellow by the name of Rocco de Villiers, and he was a Mormon bishop, and he went around doing fireside chats, you know, all over the Intermountain West, you know, about how to pray and get an answer, which was a real mystery to Mormons, you know, even though they all basically believed in personal inspiration, but they wasn't talked about much, and when it was kind of discouraged. But he just said, you know, you just need to, you know, relax but not fall asleep, and you need to ask questions and write them down, and you know, sometimes it'll take days, maybe even weeks, and you, like Habakkuk was told in the Bible, you need to keep a journal of your visions and pay
attention.
That's
correct.
And it, you know, it,
everyone
it,
should.
And it just took some time. You know, there have been outright. I've been told things like one of the most recent thing I was told was that there are something is going to be happening in September. I don't know what. I just was told that. And I get told things from time to time. I was told in 1982 that that an attempt would be made on my wife's life during the dark of the moon. And we, you know, 6 weeks later, you know, she was found to have precancerous changes. They took the one breast, and then they took another breast in 89, but she passed away on April 29th of 95. 10 days after she died, I remembered the dream in 82, and it was right in the middle of a 3 day dark of the moon period. So at that time, I started going to Creator, and I said, "Look, I said, you've been telling me stuff ever since 1982, and it's all come true." And I sent you kind of an outline of my life, you know, that has a lot of those incidences. But the thoughts that go through your head aren't always reverent.
Hold that thought, Blue Otter. Hold that thought, because I can hear the music. We've got
to
get a break.
We'll go to a break.
And I just want to remind everyone that we're talking to Will Blue Otter tonight. His site is prophecykeepers.com. And I would like to invite all of you to get over there to talkstreamlive.com and give a vote for your favorite show at this time, Radio RMN PM. And Will and I will be right back.
We hope you enjoyed this free excerpt from today's program. Register to become a sponsoring member so you can hear the complete interview for any of the radio shows in our library. Just click the sidebar link and select your membership level. It's that easy.
The ingredients in Protandim were actually selected because they are largely metabolized by the liver, which does not interfere with most prescription drugs, which are generally metabolized by the kidneys. So the general answer to that is yes, it is safe. The immediate benefits of Protandim are within several days, the biochemical markers of oxidative stress begin to decrease. And while these are immediate improvements, you may not sense that these things are happening, just as you can't sense what your cholesterol level is, if it's high or low. But nonetheless, these benefits start happening within days of taking Protandim. The advantages to taking Protandim in the long term are that it protects your body from the relentless progression of free radical damage as we age. The anti-aging aspect of Protandim is one that accumulates over time. So the longer you take it, the more protection you will sustain. Missing a dose of Protandim is not a big problem. It takes about 2 weeks for the effects to go away. So if you miss it for 2 weeks, you're pretty much back to where you started from.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Good afternoon. These are on, I presume. I'd like to talk to you today, and do I have control of these slides, or is I do? Okay. Let's get through these really quick, because this is just because you have to get CMEs, and I have to tell you that I am on the Speakers Bureau for GSK, GlaxoSmithKline, and also a nutritional consultant for an HIV nutritional company named Biosource Therapeutics, which has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today. What I'd like to talk to you about is something that I find thoroughly fascinating. It is glutathione. It is one of the four endogenous antioxidants, and it is one that I must admit, despite 80,000 published articles in the English literature, through medical school, internship, residency, fellowship, and a fairly long time in academic medicine, I knew nothing about. It is a very interesting molecule because it exists in an accelerated or increased energy state The energy state is, or increased energy state, is caused by the fact that it's got a free sulfhydryl group, and therefore can easily donate the hydrogen to a electron and therefore quench a free radical. Now, let me tell you, because I think it's important, and it is a little bit of a divergence, but I learned about glutathione because of something that you probably all have seen in your practice, and that is a low uric acid. Now, when I was in medical school and when I was a professor of oncology, the only thing I knew about uric acid is when you had a kid that you were going to treat for leukemia, you put him on allopurinol to keep the uric acid down. I knew nothing about uric acid being low, except it kept appearing, and it appeared in about 20% of my patients, and that just didn't make sense. So I finally went into PubMed, and after stumbling around for a long time, I found out that uric acid is the last antioxidant your body uses when it's run out of everything else. When it's run out of gas, okay, it uses uric acid. Interesting. So if that's the last, the question then, what was the first? And that is where I got into glutathione. I've been coming to some of these meetings for a while, and glutathione is very important for a number of things, not all of which I'm going to go into today. But in point of fact, it has a great deal to do with not only well-being, okay, but aging well, or if you will, retarding the aging process. So I think it's very applicable. I'd like to, at the risk of repeating things that you already know, go over some of the things that glutathione is important about. Alone in the antioxidant world, okay, every other antioxidant, when it becomes oxidized, becomes itself a free radical. Glutathione doesn't. It actually recycles other antioxidants. In fact, the body considers it so important that up to 6% of the entire ATP expenditure or energy expenditure of the body may be used to synthesize and optimize glutathione levels. That's pretty impressive, 6% of the entire energy output of the body. It is also the only non-enzyme antioxidant that doesn't become a free radical and in fact has a very interesting corollary when it becomes oxidized, because what happens is it complexes to another spent glutathione molecule, and the compound then becomes GSSG, and GSSG has been shown in animal studies at least to promote and induce delta wave sleep. We all know the importance of that in terms of the aging process, so this, even in its used up form, functions as a very useful product. It not only functions as an antioxidant itself, but alone again in the world of antioxidants, it is an absolutely essential component of antioxidant enzymes, namely glutathione peroxidase, and most importantly, the glutathione transferases. And I bring that up because glutathione transferase abnormalities have now been associated with virtually every cancer known to man, and probably with a lot more than that. And therefore, by promoting the production of glutathione transferases through improving glutathione, we may be doing even more than I'm able to talk about right now. In addition, if that were not enough, let's keep going. It's a chelator. In fact, it's 50% as effective as oral chelation in getting rid of mercury. It has an effect on other heavy metals, but they're not as pronounced as mercury, and mercury is pretty ubiquitous in an environment, so it kind of comes as a freebie. And it detoxifies organic pollutants, perhaps the best known one of which is the two-carbon fragment that we know as alcohol. And in fact, without glutathione, you ultimately get a hangover because you stop the process at acetaldehyde, which is phase one detox, and that in itself is a free radical. And obviously, many of us may have felt the effects of that if we didn't have enough glutathione. Now, why is it important in aging? Well, these are old data, and I think they're probably not as robust as they should be, but I'll give you what is available now. Glutathione levels decrease with age. The data would suggest it's 1% a year beginning in the 20s. I think that's too little, too late, but that's only my opinion right now. I haven't proved it. There are some very interesting things, though. Age-matched normals, okay, reveal that anybody at, say, 45, who's had his first heart attack or has asthma or whatever other disease you want to use has a lower glutathione level than somebody of that age who's well. So disease causes decrease in glutathione and an accelerated decrease compared to normals. Glutathione happens to be, and this is perhaps the take-home message, it's the major protector of mitochondrial DNA. Mitochondrial DNA is that DNA within the cells that's responsible, if you will, for the electron transport chain that produces every bit of energy in your body. And we know from pathologic data that if you take a biopsy from a 90-year-old and compare it to a biopsy in a 5-year-old, the mitochondrial DNA in the 90-year-old is only 5% normal compared to the 5-year-old. So obviously we destroy our mitochondrial DNA, we destroy our energy, and we age. Maintenance of normal mitochondrial DNA is directly correlated, and it's got an R value above 9.9, with aging. So the higher your glutathione, the less you age. And I think
it's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Lover's hand upon the heart, the very breath you Let the truth be.